Hey there, everybody. This is Radio Free Nintendo, courtesy of NintendoWorldReport.com. I'm your host, Carl Castellana, and joining me for this episode, Jonathan Metz.
Hello.
And back at his home in Tallahassee, Mike Sklens.
Hello, everybody.
And it's funny, Mike and I were actually playing some Strikers before. Not against each other, because Mike is still learning and I'm merciful. So we played Road to the Striker Cup, which is cooperative play. And I'll just say that I made most of the goals.
Yeah, but he doesn't even know how to slide tackle. I had to look it up in the manual. He's never done it.
Oh, hey, look. When you got a hammer brother on your team, you don't need a slide tackle.
He doesn't know one-timers either. These are the bread and butter of every football/hockey game is slide tackles and one-timers.
I'm telling you, though, if you have a hammer brother, all you need to do is be in like reasonable range of the goal, and you're in.
Yeah, as long as you're facing dead-on, it's pretty much guaranteed.
Which is awesome.
The more important thing is, Mike, do you like it?
It's fun. I haven't really played it enough to get a real good vibe for it, but it's at least, I think, as fun as Super Mario Strikers on GameCube was. And I liked that game quite a bit, so...
I never played that one, except maybe once at E3 a long time ago.
I got the reviewable, so...
I think that Charged is worth playing if you have people to play with.
Yeah, that's my problem. It doesn't seem like the online play is really all that great. It's worthy of buying primarily for that mode.
I mean, there's no voice chat, so it'd just be like playing against a computer.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, I'm sure if you're really, really into it, you'll notice the differences between another person and the AI.
Right.
But it just seems like, I mean, without that social aspect to it, it really is. There's just not a big enough difference.
I mean, there are leaderboards, don't get me wrong. There are, I guess, you know, if you're really into being, like, number one, you could, you know, find some extended play in that. But unless you've got someone who you're going to be playing the game with, then I don't really know if it's definitely worth renting, but not, you know, buying.
Does the leaderboard show you compared to all your friends, or is it just global?
I think it has different scales. I haven't got online yet, so I can't say for sure. Uh-huh. But I think it has, like, country and then worldwide.
I mean, that stuff is fine and dandy, but, I mean, obviously only one person in the world can be number one in the world. So that leaderboard isn't really useful to most people. The thing that makes it great on Xbox Live, or so I've heard, is that you have leaderboards made up of only the people that are on your friends list. So that way you can just compete with the people that you know.
That feature definitely drove me to playing like hours and hours of Pac-Man Championship Edition just to make sure I was better than Dan Dormer.
You don't have to be the best Pac-Man player in the world. You just have to be the best Pac-Man player you know.
You just have to be better than Dan Dormer. That's all that matters.
And it's true. I've seen him pour furious amounts of time into Pac-Man Championship Edition. I have seen it.
I haven't played it in a while now, but I was like playing it for hours a day at a point in time.
But speaking of Mike playing my games, he was also playing my review copy of Brain Age 2 a second ago.
Yeah, just now. It just came in the mail today, and I was playing it. And if you thought the game in the original Brain Age where you had to name the color that was on the screen was hard, this rock, paper, scissor thing is going to be like brain surgery for you. First of all, the voice recognition hasn't gotten that much better as far as I can tell. And second of all, it's just like sometimes it tells you to pick the item that what it's showing beats, and sometimes it's telling you to pick the item so you'll lose, and it's like it's really complicated, and I got really frustrated and turned it off.
Yeah.
In other words, your brain is old.
Yeah.
Well,
this shit is broken.
I'll be diving into it later on to, you know, really get a good look at how it is. The first one I really liked. I gave it an 8.5. I thought it was very good for what it was. I mean, it's definitely not the type of game that you play for an extended period unless you're playing Sudoku, which I don't because I hate it.
I played that and Big Brain Academy, and I definitely preferred Big Brain Academy.
But I mean, if you're looking for something that you're just gonna play, that you just want to play casually, that you will return to every day, then it's something that's, you know, very useful. And it's a budget prize. It's like $20.
Yeah, I'm thinking of picking it up later this week.
I think it's $15 at Circuit City this week.
Oh, there you go.
All their brain games, including the new one, are on sale this week.
Excellent.
Well, I'm going to trade in a couple games. I think Transformers and my GameCube copy of Resident Evil 4, since it's kind of meaningless now that I have the Wii edition. And I beat. Actually, well, that gets into my new business then. So, let's see. Last week, I played through and beat Metroid Fusion in about three afternoons, maybe. And that was good. Obviously, I'm trying to kind of prepare. I don't know. I just saw it and thought, oh, I haven't played that since it came out in 2002, I think. Yeah, it's good. I think the linearity is not as bad as I remember. Because there are a lot of times when you can basically ignore the mission that you're given and explore around. And it does shut places off from you. But towards the end of the game, there are a few different opportunities where you can pretty much explore freely if you want to ignore the mission that you've been given. And then after you cross a certain point, it shuts off all that, and you have to just play the end sequence to the game. But still, I would say the real problem that I have with Fusion is not that it's different from the other games or anything like that.
Wait,
my problem
with it, you can't bomb jump, right? Is that it?
No, that's stupid. No, I don't really care about that. It has the spring ball, so I don't care. But my problem with Fusion is that it has such a cool premise of combining Samus with Metroid DNA, and it really does nothing with it whatsoever. I mean, the only thing that they do with it, and it's really cool, is that Samus is vulnerable to ice, and that she can't use her ice beam, so they have to cook up some way around that. And that's really cool, and I wish there was a lot more to that. But for me, considering how, story-wise, how different the character is in this game, her abilities are almost exactly the same as in Super Metroid. In fact, she's even missing a few from Super Metroid. So I just feel like, you know, the only new ability that they added is, what, diffusion missiles?
And
who
you
cares?
Can grab onto ledges. That's
They're
really
crap.
It.
You only need them for, like, you know, for like two places in the game, and you get them really late. And I don't know. I'm really disappointed with the lack of creativity in coming up with ways to use this story idea that they had. But
well,
that's really
of,
my only complaint about it.
Speaking of grabbing power-ups, I grabbed Super Metroid today.
Yeah, me
and,
too.
Yeah, because it's fantastic. And I've got a copy, but my SNES controllers are all busted up, so I just paid the $8 and got it. But the thing that struck me as odd, or not odd, I haven't played it in a while, and I forgot how early you get the super missiles in that game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like 15, 20 minutes in, and you've got them.
It's the first boss.
Yeah, and the first boss. But, you know, it seems to me like super missiles are a really late-game item for the other Metroid games, or at least mid-game. They're like, you get them right away in Super Metroid.
In Fusion, you get them immediately after you get missiles.
Yeah, that's kind of silly.
All right, well, guys, we're going to be talking about Metroid a lot more in this show, so yeah. let's keep it in check for right now. Do you have more new
well,
business?
A little bit, yeah. I was going to say, I also finally beat Resident Evil 4 on Wii and played Separate Ways, which I'd never played before because they added it in the PS2 version.
Right.
And that was really fun, actually. It's five missions, and the first three are a little boring because you're in the same places that you played through as Leon, and the stuff that you're doing is not radically different. But the last two missions are actually really cool because you go to some places and do some things that they added specifically for these missions. And the whole idea of it, if you haven't played through it, is that you're kind of controlling Ada as she goes through, and then you meet up with Leon at the same points that you do in the main game, but you kind of see what she does in between those and what she's doing in the background. It's pretty cool. It jumps around a lot. It's not, I mean, it took me like 5 hours to play through the whole thing, but it's really cool. And the hookshot thing is like, I was hoping it'd be like Bionic Commando, where you can just use the hookshot anywhere, but of course it's not like that. It's just some certain places you walk by and you see at the bottom, press A to use the hookshot, and usually it just gets you to a little secret area where you can get some extra items.
Which
but it's worth playing.
There's a giant thing saying, press A now to find the secret.
Right. Exactly.
Well, good. Let's move on to community then. Hot Topic, which is not Nintendo related at all. Thank you, Ty.
I'm glad. I'm sick of Nintendo. Who needs Nintendo stuff?
With the recent price drop, do you plan on buying an Xbox 360? Mike is exempt because he already has one. So this is really just a question for me and Johnny. But going to what the community said, first up, our old pal Ian Sane. He said that if he wanted one, he could have afforded it before the price drop. It needs a game that really grabs his interest.
Hey, buddy, Bioshock's out tomorrow. Actually, it'll be out by the time you read this.
So, yep. Yeah, do it.
Listen to this.
I mean, he's saying that he just bought a Wii because Metroid Prime 3 is that deal-breaker game for him. Now, John, do you think the Xbox 360 has a game for it that is, on its own merits, enough for you to buy the system?
It doesn't have a single game. It has a group of games whose collective power is enough to make me want to buy the system, but I've said for a while now, and I will stick by it, I am not even thinking about getting a 360 until it's $300 with a hard drive. I think that is a reasonable price. It's not. It's still not mass market, but it's. Yeah. I don't. I'm not a mass market gamer. I'm core enough to buy it for that price, but I'm not gonna have them bend me over for a hard drive. And so that's what I'm waiting for. So the price drops. Yeah, that's nice, but they've still got a long way to go.
You're gonna be waiting a while. I imagine.
You're gonna wait.
Well,
one more
maybe
year.
I am. Yeah, maybe I am gonna be waiting a while. But that's up to them, not me.
Though I hear they might be having some holiday bundles with games included, so...
Yeah.
That's not a price drop.
No.
and the bundle's probably going to be Halo 3, which I could care less about.
Well, okay, well, what if they bundled Mass Effect with a 360 for $350? Would that do it for you?
Probably, as long as it wasn't blue with neon purple writing all over it. Because that's the kind of crap they do, obviously.
Yeah,
you've seen the Halo 3 Xbox,
ugly green
it's
Halo
ghastly.
Mark. It doesn't even come with Halo, so I doubt you're seeing any Halo bundle, Johnny.
Yeah.
Well, as most people might know, I am a starving college student, and as such, I don't have very much money.
But
however,
as a college student, you are open to millions of credit card offers every single day.
This is also
not
true.
That I endorse such a measure. It's actually a terrible, terrible idea, especially if all you're getting is a T-shirt or a sandwich.
But here's the thing, though. I am coming into a little bit of extra money. In a little while, I sold off an old instrument that I had from years before, and I have enough money from that where I can buy a 360, and I'm very much considering it. And, you know, it's very tempting. It's very tempting.
Why don't you just use mics?
Why don't I just...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Okay, awesome.
I actually want to jump back to new business.
I just saved you like $700.
Very quickly, I'd like to jump back to new business, because Carl reminded me of something when he said he was coming into a little bit of money. I saw earlier this week on Chris Kohler's blog that a copy of the Donkey Kong Country competition cartridge from the Blockbuster World Game Championship 2 is going for $400 on eBay. I have it in my hand right now. My mom bought it for me when I was like 10 out of the Nintendo Power catalog, and now it's worth $400 freaking, and I could not be more excited about it.
Is this the Nintendo Power catalog where you could buy things with stamps instead of money?
Yeah, but I don't think
remember that?
I think this was bought with actual... You could buy things with stamps or actual money.
Right.
And I believe they were bought with... It was bought with hard-earned dollars from taking out the trash and doing the dishes.
I hope it didn't cost very much. I mean, it's a game.
It was like 30
it's like
bucks.
A 4-minute long game.
Yeah, it was like $30.
That's insane. The game literally turns off after 5 minutes.
Yeah, literally, it doesn't turn off. It freezes itself solid.
Oh my god.
So you can't do anything with it.
Oh my god.
Listen, it's
for $30?
You know what, dude? Screw off. It's worth more than 10 times.
I know. As it turns out, a great investment. But you couldn't have known that back then.
No, right. I could not have. I just really wanted it because it was limited and I was a Nintendo nerd.
Well, while we are saying to new
totally
business, wise from your grave, let me just add very briefly that by the time our dear listeners hear this podcast, I should be playing Metroid Prime 3.
Okay, good.
If all goes well. I hope to God. I don't have it now, but... Yeah.
Okay, Metroid talk for later.
Yes.
But, he is fondly looking at his copy of DK Championship
like
Edition right now.
$400 video game.
But back to the hot topic. We're just so off track right now. All right, so basically Johnny just saved me $700. I'm just going to use Mike's 360, and happy times are had by all.
By the way, I'm expecting a check, Carl. I'll take a 20% commission there.
Since Mike is saving me some money, I'm going to let him take care of that.
Yeah. Maybe I think you're supposed to write me a check, Carl.
Right. Well, Voodoo has something to say. He says there are quite a few 360 games that he would really like to play, but he can't find the time to play them all with all the Wii games he's playing. I don't know what these Wii games are, but...
Well, he says DS games also.
He also says DS games. He just can't justify spending $400+ to get some necessary console, just get the necessary console and accessories to play these games.
Yeah, I dropped $1,100 the day I bought my 360. So
yikes!
Good God!
Well, that's the day I bought my HDTV also because it was a really like super on sale. So I was like, okay, I'll just do it all.
Yeah, and also the accessory prices on that stuff. Microsoft's prices for the 360 accessories are outrageous.
Yeah, the $50 controller is a pretty standard accessory worldwide, but. The $100 wireless adapter really felt like I was getting bent over.
Yeah. Or $20 face plates, or, you know, $180 hard drive. Man, the list goes on and on. It's really crazy what they're charging for those accessories.
Right. Voodoo goes on to say, I might as well miss great games with a bunch of money padding my wallet. And he's got a good point. But I do think that there are enough, you know, like Johnny said, there are enough good games on the 360 to justify its purchase. Maybe not at the current price of $350, but maybe sometime in the future. And yeah, I guess that actually wraps up our hot topic. So I'm going to turn it over to Mike for Mike's crazy mailbag.
All right, so once again, I honor my promise of answering the first question to come into the mailbag this week. This week's is from Adolf, and he asks, can we expect when Super Mario Galaxy comes out that we'll receive a preview channel for the game like and Super Mario 3, Super Mario RPG, Super Mario 1 Lost Levels coming to Virtual Console in November? He says it seems pretty logical, since they did it for Metroid, Mario should get equal treatment. And I would assume that Nintendo is probably going to continue this trend with all of their major first-party releases. It seems like it's really stupid not to. It costs them pretty much next to nothing to throw up a channel and, you know, have basically a YouTube-style Flash video player that just streams down a little video content to get you excited for a game that's coming out. I mean, why not? And obviously, the themed month of Virtual Console releases is a good idea. It's just brand synergy. But you know what? That's the answer to Adolf's question, but I'd like to complain that you people are not sending me crazy enough questions. This was, again, the first question in the mailbag this week was about Nintendo. And I would prefer they be completely non sequitur questions, or maybe something like really stupid Nintendo questions, or like really old school Nintendo questions, or anything. But also, to ensure that people just don't start sending questions in at random, hoping that they get the first question in past the posting of the podcast, I'm going to include a password in this week's.
Oh my god!
And, your email, if you want answered by me, we'll have to contain the phrase or the words "mother brain" somewhere in it, you know, anywhere, to ensure that I know it was legitimately submitted after you heard this. And with that, Carl will move on into the even more mundane standard listener mail question.
Right. Such desperate measures.
It's the week of Metroid here on RFN. And we do have something here from Fleece, who asks, I would like to ask if a DVD upgrade for the Wii could be possible through a firmware update. I would be willing to pay for it.
I take it back. This is actually less mundane and more exciting of a question.
Yeah.
Watching DVDs on the Wii is less mundane.
Well, I'm not sure
about that, Mike.
Well, it's more, I guess it's, this question has more of an open-ended answer, like, will Nintendo do preview channels? Yes. It's working, right. So yes.
I don't think they're going to put out a DVD firmware update. I remember them saying something about a DVD-enabled Wii coming out in Japan, like, sometime after launch. I don't think it ever really surfaced, so I don't know if those plans are still out.
Yeah, who knows.
But I think that's probably been canceled.
Yeah, I think so as well.
The real question is, though, why wouldn't it be able to do it over a firmware update? The Wii games are on DVD, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's all you really need is something that can read DVD, and that the Wii does that.
I think it probably is feasible, but it would have to be something that you paid for.
Well, yeah, because the DVD consortium fee would be $20, which is why you couldn't watch DVDs on your Xbox without buying that $20 remote controller, because even though the controller cost, like, you know, 30 cents to make, the $20, actually almost all of it went to the DVD consortium.
Yes.
So Microsoft wouldn't have to pay them a fee for every Xbox sold. Instead, they pay them a fee for every remote sold.
Exactly. And I think I think basically what might happen, and I'm not really saying this will happen because I doubt it, but what might happen if they were going to do this is that they would put up a channel on WiiWare. It would cost you, 2,000 Wii points, and you download it, and then, you know, basically you go there whenever you have a DVD in the drive.
An upgraded version of the disc channel, you know, whatever.
They would probably make it a separate channel, but yes, it would be essentially the same thing, but it would have DVD controls, you know.
Yeah.
The cool thing is they wouldn't have to sell any extra hardware for it. And the Wii remote is obviously a remote, so you just point it at the screen and a little bar comes up at the bottom like an opera, and it has the fast forward and rewind and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is there are apparently some guys out there who are working on a mod chip that will enable DVD playback on your Wii. I just read about this over the past week. I don't know. What do you guys think of that? Would you take that plunge?
No. I have a DVD player on my laptop, and that's how I prefer to watch movies, because I don't have a nice big TV like Mike.
I watch them on my Xbox.
He watches them on his Xbox. And, you know, I don't want to watch DVDs on the crappy television that I own. I want to watch them on the nice screen that I have on my laptop, which is weird. But keep in mind, the screen size between my laptop and my television isn't that big of a difference. So it's actually a huge upgrade. And as such, I would not go through the message. I mean, it's so long. You have to burn it onto a CD. You have to run something through the internet browser. It's stupid. It's not worth it.
And your laptop is probably widescreen, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you have smaller black bars.
There we go.
Yeah, I think obviously this mod chip would have to do a lot more, like enabling pirated games and stuff like that. I'm not suggesting that anybody do this, but a mod chip is expensive and dangerous and complicated to install. And yeah. I can imagine DVD playback is worth it.
Yeah, it voids your warranty, guys. Don't do it.
You know, the last firmware update Nintendo put out bricked a lot of systems that were chipped, so...
Yeah.
Well, at least it warned you politely.
It warned you, yeah. So. Hope you didn't mod your system.
Because you bricked.
Have fun with version 2.0 for the rest of your life.
Boom! So, yeah, I mean, as for if it'll actually happen, I don't think there's enough of a demand out there for Nintendo to do it, so I don't see it happening.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a non-issue. I mean... I think the only reason they ever brought it up to begin with is that, you know, when they first announced the Wii, everybody was like, what? It doesn't play DVDs? And then, you know, so they start scrambling. Well, maybe by the end of 2008, we'll be selling a new version of Wii that plays DVDs, but I just don't think anybody cares.
Right.
Including the mainstream casual Blue Ocean people. I just don't think they already care either.
DVD players are prominent now. It's not a big selling point anymore.
Yeah.
And you could get, like a pretty good upscaling DVD player for, like, what, $40?
Yeah.
So, it's really, really, really not worth it.
They're dirt cheap.
Yep. Okay, with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, so see you when we come back. And we're back for Virtual Console Mondays. We've got Super Metroid on the SNES.
We can stop. Just buy it.
Yeah.
The rest of these games don't even matter.
Yeah. It's Mike loves his Metroid, and I'm sure Johnny does as well.
Johnny loves it more than me.
Even more than Mike.
Yeah.
In fact, probably much more. All I can say is I will take your soul if you don't download this game.
Honestly.
If you have owned Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo a long time ago, you must download this game. If you have never played Super Metroid, you must download this game.
And what the hell is wrong
with you?
So
either way, you must download this game.
Carl has not played Super Metroid, by the way.
I have not really played Super Metroid. I'm not a big Metroid fan. I mean, I've played a little bit of the 2D games, and I've played Prime and stuff, but I just don't really like it.
It's a little hard to get a hold of the original cartridge.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge seller, and it came out really late in the Super Nintendo.
But at one point,
they gave
a ton of weight to Nintendo Power subscribers.
Really?
The yellow stickered Metroid.
Yeah.
But there's also the regular, like, you know, the classic Nintendo, you know, where they used that that template for all their game arts. But then later on, I guess they had a whole bunch of cartridges left over, so they gave them out to the Nintendo Power fan club, or Nintendo Power whatever at the time.
So here's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to take more of Johnny's advice and just play it on Mike's Wii.
If you have a Super Nintendo, you can borrow my cartridge.
Nah, I don't have it with me, obviously.
Okay.
Carl, play
it for half an hour.
Play for half an hour?
And then you'll want to download it.
Okay, yeah. I'll give it a shot. I'll take your word for it, Johnny.
Yeah, I played it for about an hour and a half today, and one thing I'd forgotten about is that in the intro you fight Ridley, but it's not possible to lose that fight. And then once you actually land on the planet, one thing I'd forgotten is that there's like a 10 or 15 minute period where there are no enemies. It's really cool. Like you have to delve in and explore, and you get through like a fairly decent portion of the map before you get the first couple upgrades. And until that time, there are no enemies whatsoever. And when they finally do show up, they scare the crap out of you because you just had become accustomed to not seeing any.
Yeah, and they're space pirates, so you're really
right.
scared.
And they're actually, they're not too difficult.
They die
dangerous.
In one shot.
Yeah, but they can do some damage to you.
Right.
And then before much longer than that even, you run into a very interesting upgrade statue.
Yeah.
Which will really scare you.
Especially if you've played Metroid Zero Mission first.
Oh, yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I won't spoil it for anybody.
It's a completely fantastic game in every single way, and it's
if amazing. If we had on the website an ability to, you know, we have not recommended, recommended for fans, recommended for everyone. If we had a way to literally force you to download the game, this would be the only game probably that had that.
Yeah.
So, Johnny, would you recommend it for everyone?
Required for everyone.
I'm not. Yeah, I actually considered requesting like a fourth rating for this game. I really did. No, I mean, didn't EGM once do like the list of top 50 games ever made, and Super Metroid was the number one?
Yeah, I think so, it was. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely
it shows up in the top.
It's
five
in my top five. My favorite game of all time is probably Chrono Trigger, which I have no faith whatsoever will ever show up on Virtual Console. But
really?
Super Metroid might be my second favorite game.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, also available this week, we've got Shinobi 3 Rise of the Ninja Master.
Supposedly the best Shinobi game.
Yeah. I remember reading the forums and someone said that they couldn't beat the game without using unlimited shurikens. But I don't know.
You know, I've never played Shinobi. Is it anything like Wrath of the Black Manta?
I wouldn't know. Mike?
No idea.
Sorry, dude. Read the website. I think Wendy's the one who's reviewing Shinobi 3, so yeah. Look for his write-up. And last up, if you're into Zelda clones, you might be into Newtopia on the TurboGrafx-16. You solve puzzles, you fight monsters. It's Zelda clone on TurboGrafx-16. So, might be good, might be bad.
Yeah. Speaking of Zelda clones, Landstalker is supposed to come out for Genesis sometime this month.
Yeah, that's true.
Or maybe next month. But supposedly, it's very, very good, and it's a lot like Zelda. It was basically the Zelda for Genesis. More so than that other game.
Beyond Oasis? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Moving on to the quote-unquote real news. Wii component suppliers are making a ton of cash.
Surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Wii sells well. People who make Wiis are getting money.
It prints money.
It prints money for everyone, not just Nintendo. And that's cool. I mean, you know, I remember I was reading a story way back when, I think Mike was the one who showed it to me, of Xbox 360 suppliers who stopped making Xbox 360s and started making Wiis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was Foxconn, I believe, but yeah. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, so it looks like they made the right decision. Unfortunately, a production increase has been put on hold due to lack of chips and circuit boards. So apparently
these component companies need to be making more chips so Nintendo can make more Wiis.
You know, yeah. I wonder if Nintendo has been stockpiling for the Christmas holidays, because if they haven't, if they can only put out, you know, the typical 350,000 or so units per month like they have been, can you imagine if there's only 350,000 Wiis in the month of November? I mean, there will be murder in the mall. Really.
Someone's going to die.
It's going to be bad.
Someone's going to die.
So I kind of hope for Nintendo's sake that they have been stockpiling, that they've, you know, been holding a few thousand a month for a rainy day.
Well, they've been known to do it with DS units.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely hoping that they have been doing the same for Wii. Moving on, MTV, who's heavily involved with Rock Band, is really looking into that gaming thing because they're going to spend $500 million on it.
$500 million in gaming over the next 2 years.
Over the next 2 years.
That's a lot of money.
So much money.
Are there any details on how they expect to spend this money?
No.
I have to assume some of it has to be spent on getting the licensing for songs and albums for Rock Band.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that can be very expensive.
And that could actually be carried through for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rock Band is supposed to be kind
of...
They
do plan on putting out content every week. So.
Right, for an indefinite period of time. The other couple things I was thinking about this was that it could be money for advertising in games, you know, like with Massive or whatever that company is that Microsoft mm-hmm. owns.
Right.
It also could be, you know, MTV owns GameTrailers.com, which is a massive website. It's really huge. So this could be new investment into that or other websites. Probably this does relate to some new game development that we don't know about, but I bet it's not all game development.
No, certainly not. It's certainly going to be spent over the entire spectrum of everything they would spend for gaming.
Yeah, it's still a lot of money. If you figure a typical game costs at the most $50 million to develop, and that's a that's a major game. Now the marketing push can be quite a bit over that, but still, $500 million is potentially a lot of games.
Well, speaking of music titles, Guitar Hero 3 is going to be on the DS. Maybe they're working on it at Red Octane. They haven't really said too much about it.
Red Octane has said in an interview with CNET that they are working on a version of Guitar Hero for the DS. They haven't even decided if they're going to do any sort of peripheral. They're talking to Nintendo about, you know, how they could do it, or they're not even, you know, they don't even know if it'll play even remotely the same. I honestly think with such a small system, it might be better to go for Ukulele Hero. But.
That's fine.
It's deadpan. You're supposed to, you know, there's comedy in there somewhere. You just got to find it.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. But, you know, it's, I don't really know if they, there was the game that I heard about at E3 that was a Hannah Montana game that one of yours talked about extensively.
It was a jam session, like,
yeah,
skin over or something.
Right, but it's, like, apparently it's, like, even better than that guitar sim that Ubisoft is working on.
Which is
the same
session.
Game.
Which is Jam. Which is Jam Sessions. I mean, the one of yours guys really liked it, and apparently said that Disney is basically using that that engine for like all of its new Disney properties,
for all its new music ones. I'm sure we might see a High School Musical game based on it too.
It's very possible.
The High School Musical game on DS is actually a dancing game, and the Wii version is a karaoke game. And I'm surprised those aren't out this week because the new High School Musical 2 movie just came out.
Yeah, it was out on Friday, and this is, you know, unrelated, but it's now the number one viewed cable television show of all time with like 17 million plus viewers on its premiere night.
Well, wow. For some reason, I saw the first one not terribly
long
ago.
Yeah, for some reason, John.
No, seriously, I was flipping through the channels. I was like, is this that thing?
Pedophile.
And I didn't see all of it because it was like halfway over already. But it was surprisingly bearable, actually.
He didn't deny it. It's true.
No denials in that sense.
What should I be denying?
You have a crush on Zac Efron, and that's why you were watching High School Musical.
Perhaps his companion in the movie.
Then you're also a pedophile.
No, she's she's legal now.
He's been keeping track, so you know.
Okay, we gotta move on here. Bret Michaels is actually going to be in the console version of Guitar Hero 3.
Boo!
Yeah, Johnny was not happy about this.
I don't think anybody's really happy. Maybe some people are just indifferent, but who really? Is there anyone running in the streets going, "Thank God"?
He was in Poison, right? Poison?
He's the lead singer for Poison.
And he's also got his own band now, the Bret Michaels Band.
He's also the star of Rock of Love on VH1, I think.
Yeah.
Where
for all your terrible celebrity
where
shows.
He impregnates a bunch of skanks. Yeah. So,
in that case, they should call it The Flavor of Rock.
Oh! I didn't know syphilis had a flavor. I totally stole
it. It tastes
that joke.
Like poison!
Oh! We're just on a roll here. But. You know, here's the thing. So he doesn't play the guitar. So why is he in Guitar Hero?
That is a fabulously apt question, Carl.
That's a very good question.
I mean, is he going to be singing, or is he just going to be appearing as a person, like, in the game, like, hey, I'm Bret Michaels, you're playing guitar. So
he'll probably be a singer.
Yes. If you've played the other Guitar Hero games, you know, they show an entire band on the screen, and you're just the guitar player. Well, usually there's a singer, obviously, and he's just some character. But in this one, for some of the songs, that character will, instead of being some generic character that they've designed, will be some generic Bret Michaels.
Are there any Poison songs in Guitar Hero 3?
Yeah, one of them, I think Nothing But a Good Time is a cover, and then there's the Bret Michaels Band song is like as performed by...
Huh.
But this will, like, you know, Bret Michaels is in the game now, so it does ensure that Guitar Hero 3 will, in fact, be nothing but a good time.
Oh. Well, speaking of people who we find annoying, the Providence of Quebec?
Soon to be country in a couple of years.
Well, we don't know that.
No, that's been... No.
Yeah.
They only need to pass one more vote.
Let's move on from there. They want more games in French because they obviously want their games to be delayed.
Well, Nintendo will certainly oblige because they print all their manuals and stuff in, you know, on all the NAFTA languages. So.
Yeah, but they don't have their games play in all those languages.
Well, I turn on Brain Age right here, and it says, would you like to play in English, French, or Spanish?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying.
But this is Nintendo, you know, obviously complying with some silly NAFTA regulation or something.
Right. And, I mean, most of their games are text only, so they don't have to worry about voice.
I'm actually surprised that Quebec is, like, really strict about this, or so I've heard. And they have a lot of French language laws, like, you know, like your restaurant sign has to be in French as well as English, and the French version has to appear larger than the English version.
Yeah, they're very, very adamant about keeping their French heritage.
Yeah, and so is France, for that matter.
yeah.
No, I'm serious. France has similar laws. You know, I'm honestly, from what I've heard, I'm a little surprised that Quebec even allows non-French games to be sold there. I mean, they're pretty strict about it. But.
Well, I mean, I think that as you know, part of Canada, they just get the same game that, you know, the rest of Canada gets, which is in most cases the same game that, you know, the United States gets. And, you know, not every game that's released in the United States has a French option, obviously, so maybe that's what they're talking about.
Almost all of Ubisoft's games do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they're a French company, right? And so I don't know. I think that it's something that I can understand and respect, but at the same time, it could have some bad repercussions. I mean, if you want to release everywhere in Canada at the same time, that means you're not going to have to make sure that every game you release in Canada is in French, which also might mean for some extended localization times, which is bad for Canadian people who don't live in Quebec. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, if people who live in Quebec actually do have aspirations of making Quebec an independent country, then this is exactly the kind of thing they're going to have to deal with when that happens, if it ever does. True. Because now it's really a separate territory almost, and they're going to have separate regulations for that kind of stuff. And it's going to cause delays and things like that. Not just for video games, but across the board.
Very true. And our last story tonight is Data Designs is forming Popcorn Arcade, which is a brand they will use to publish Wii titles. And they actually plan to be, quote-unquote, the biggest publisher on the console.
To clarify, they left out the word shovelware from that sentence.
You know, speaking of shovelware, I requested a game yesterday for our talented PR department to dig up for me, and I was denied. Because it is quote-unquote shovelware. Okay, look. Ninja Bread Man has merits, okay? I need the game. John, do it for him. Come on.
If you need it, go buy it yourself.
Oh, come on, man. Do it.
Is it even coming out in America, or is that a
Yeah, it is. It just got raided by the SRB.
Oh, okay. Well, go pick it up.
It'll be a budget title. You can afford it.
Yeah, I think actually these guys by the end of the year might already be the biggest Wii publisher in terms of titles released.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, they're releasing 12 games at once.
Yeah, I mean that's like more than Nintendo's got out right now for Wii.
It basically doubles the entire Wii library.
The question is a single one of these worth playing? They're all ports from PS2.
Are they? Oh,
yeah.
No. It's even worse. Some of them are actually based on Flash games on the PC.
There you go.
So you know you're in for quality here. And I really just want Ninja Bread Man. I really just want the cover. That's all I really want. It's got cool hover art, and it's a freaking gingerbread man with a sword.
Carl, why don't you go to their website and print out the box art?
Because
and make a poster out of it.
Johnny, why do you always have to tear me down on the show?
I'm trying to save you money, man. I'm your personal financial counselor here.
All right, fine. Well, we're actually going to be hearing a lot from Johnny with the next segment, because we're going to be talking about Metroid Prime 3.
Woo!
Yeah, and many, many, many things.
And also,
Metroid.
In addition, we'll be talking about specifically the hype for Metroid Prime 3 and how hype affects a video game.
Right. So, see you on the other side of this break. Alrighty, guys, and we're back for the feature. Metroid Prime 3 is coming out. By the time you start getting this podcast, it'll be like, what, like 3 days, 3 or 4 days away?
4 days, maybe?
Something like that. And yeah. I don't know, has there really been a lot of hype for this game? I mean, there has been in the hardcore Nintendo community, but, like, outside of that, really?
No, because Nintendo hasn't been showing it to the media. The screenshots they've released have been very few, and they look like crap, unnecessarily. Yeah. I mean, really, who the hell is taking these screenshots? I know, I've played the game, I know it looks better than these screenshots.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But that's part of the problem. There haven't been any big magazine covers, except for maybe Nintendo Power, I don't know. You know, and they just, there hasn't been any press junket to really get out the word from the media to start, you know, I mean, I don't know if there was one for similar games either, but Metroid is a series that doesn't have a lot of built-in hype, especially if you look at Echoes and how terribly it sold. They really needed to do something drastic to turn it around. And in Nintendo fashion, they're kind of loading things like really, really close to the release date, and we still don't know everything that they're going to do. I don't know if there's going to be a TV commercial. It would help. Do you remember the TV commercial that they did for the first Metroid Prime?
I don't.
I remember there being one, but I don't remember what it was about.
It had they had some kind of crazy Hollywood director make it, and it had like this morph ball rolling through. It was live action, and they had someone in a Samus Metroid suit.
I think that was Echoes. I think, was it Echoes?
No. You're
that was not for Echoes. No, it was for the original Metroid Prime. It's really cool. You can YouTube it. It's a good commercial. And that really helped get the word out, you know?
Yeah.
But with Echoes, there was nothing like that.
And so then I'm thinking, though, the commercial I'm thinking of is where, like, the girl is walking by and, like, parts of, like, Samus' suit are attaching to her.
No, that was for Echoes.
That was for Echoes? Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
No, I'm talking about the one where Samus is, like, in the morph ball, and then she unmorphs and she shoots a missile at a bad guy, and it's like a rubber suit, but it looks surprisingly good.
Right.
And it's very cool, you know, it makes it look like an action game.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
But
hopefully there's going to be something like that for Corruption, and they're just waiting until the very last minute to start doing that.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, the videos that they've been putting up on the channel have been surprisingly cinematic. Like, I think, way more cinematic than we've ever gotten for Metroid. So I think they could just honestly put those commercials on TV and then stick a Metroid Prime 3 ad at the end of it. Like a little thing that says out on the 27th, and there you go.
Are you talking like the Auroras or the Valhalla video?
Sure.
No, those would not be good TV commercials.
For those one are thing, all they're for too fans.
Long. They're too long. They don't make any sense if you're not really steeped in the lore of Metroid, which is a hard thing to be steeped in because it's not a story-rich game series in the first place. It wouldn't work, man. That would not work at all.
Okay, I guess I'm just wrong. It's okay.
To the average person, if they saw the Auroras video, they'd be like, what the hell am I watching? This is so boring.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Definitely.
I don't think they would find it boring.
Would definitely find it boring.
Like someone with a degree.
It's viral type stuff. It's great for the already existing audience to get them really hyped up. But those particular videos don't sell anybody on the game. The gameplay videos, maybe, but the gameplay videos haven't really been cut up in a way that would work for a TV commercial either.
Okay. So, you know, we could compare the amount of hype that Metroid Prime 3 is getting to a game that's also being released about the same time. That is also a first-person game that's, you know...
It's also a first-person adventure.
It's also a first-person adventure. BioShock, which Mike is going to talk about to unknown lengths. So
well, I mean, if you just look at just comparatively speaking, Metroid has gotten very little hype. I mean, sure, IGN had this big article up about how it was getting no hype, and then a day later, Nintendo put up the channel. But that's sort of, you know, again, that's sort of, you know, feeding to the existing fan base. You know, I doubt many. Well, I mean, they did put out a notice to everyone's Wii message board, so maybe there are some people out there who aren't into Metroid who saw it and were like, "Oh, I'll check this out." But those are already Wii owners. You're not selling the game to anyone who doesn't already own a Wii at this point. You're not pushing it to that market base. BioShock, on the other hand, has gotten ridiculous amounts of hype. It takes up numerous forum threads on Gaming Age and GameFAQs and all those sites. They premiered the trailer. They made a big to-do about, oh, we're going to premiere the final trailer, you know, during the middle of this television show on Spike TV, and there's going to be a surprise announcement. And they got the fan base really hyped up. You know, they show the trailer. It's really good. And then after that, they announced the demo's gone live. Like, the demo wasn't supposed to be out till the end of August, but it's out a week before the game, or 2 weeks before the game instead. And they got everyone super hyped. The commercial's airing nonstop, you know. They know what they're doing. It's on the cover of magazines. It's all over the internet. Everyone is talking about it. And no one's talking about Metroid Prime 3, especially because it's getting swallowed up by all this BioShock hype.
Yeah, it is.
Do you think maybe it's part of Nintendo's strategy to kind of wait for BioShock to blow over?
I would almost think of that, because BioShock, to the gamer at least, I think to more... BioShock is a bigger game to a lot of gamers compared to Metroid Prime 3. It just seems to me that way. Maybe it's because I think it's a bigger game than Metroid Prime 3, because it's this vast, you know... Because
you have a hard-on for Ayn Rand.
I do not. I have a hard-on for gameplay like, you know, BioShock does, and its melding of story and environment and everything together, and, you know, it's trying to be something more than a traditional video game, and that's what I'm excited about. But,
yeah. Of course, Prime 3 is the same way, though. I mean, it's not as story-driven as BioShock, but all the Prime games are quite different from other first-person games. And I think the problem for 3 is that because they've shown so little for it, it's not really evident how Prime 3 is significantly different from the previous games in the series. And other than the controls, which is obvious, but other than that, and unfortunately, the previous game in the series really has a bad reputation, which is undeserved in my opinion. But a lot of people didn't play Echoes at all because of Halo 2. I guess that's the reason. And even the people who did, unfortunately, the difficulty wasn't as balanced as well as it should be. And a lot of people got stuck at the Boost Ball Guardian or some other point halfway through the game and didn't even get to see some of the best parts of the game, which are towards the end. So I think, unfortunately, a lot of the momentum that they got for the series from the first Prime game was killed off. One way or another for Prime 2, and they really need to be taking drastic measures to rebuild it for Prime 3. They certainly can't coast on the popularity of the last game.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
That's what Microsoft's doing with Halo, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what Halo's
been getting insane amounts of hype. Yeah, but Halo, you know, Halo 3 has got insane amounts of hype. Bungie puts up posts on their website every week about, you know, here's a whole bunch of Halo 3 information, and it's on the cover of every magazine, and it's every website story, and then they had the beta, which was huge, you know.
Right.
The beta was less of an actual beta testing environment and more of a total marketing ploy,
right,
which was an extremely smart move, and now we see that other companies are doing the exact same thing. Sony did it with Warhawk, and, you know, obviously that generated a ton more interest in that game than it would have gotten otherwise. They're doing it with Call of Duty 4. You know, it apparently is the new big marketing push for your game is a public beta.
Yeah. I mean, talking about Halo 3, I mean, it's got its own podcast hosted by Luke Smith. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Nintendo's not doing anything like that. You know, Nintendo doesn't have the weekly Metroid podcast. I remember they did something like that for New Super Mario Brothers a year ago, but it was only like 6 episodes, and it was more of a commercial and less of like a really interesting
cheesy
thing. Yeah,
it was cheesy.
It was real bad. But, you know, it's kind of a shame because Nintendo seems that it just doesn't really seem to have that grassroots community push.
Which is funny because it should.
Yeah, it really should, because the Nintendo community is one of the most vocal and hardcore communities out there.
Yeah, but Nintendo does not interact with them.
Yeah, I know, and that's so stupid because they totally should.
It's bad.
Someone at Nintendo of America, and maybe they want to but just can't because of NCL, but they should really have like their own, you know, like a Major Nelson, someone like that. Who is kind of like the intermediary between the fans and the company.
Sony's doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah, they got the PS3 blog. It's just, Nintendo just needs to try more.
Well, to go back to the original topic of hype and how important is it, I think it's interesting when you look at a game like Grand Theft Auto, the series, the last few games, because Rockstar is really, really, really secretive about those games, probably even more secretive than Nintendo has been about the Metroid Prime games prior to their release. And yet,
definitely,
those games, they have a really strong kind of undercurrent of hype because people are familiar with the series and they want to know what's going to happen. And I'm not really totally sure how Rockstar gets away with not hyping the game any more than they do, except
pages.
For the pure... Say what?
No, countdown pages. These are those things where, you know, this website, and all the website displays is a counter, and, like, you know, eventually it counts down, like, a month later, there's finally, like, a two-minute trailer, and everyone's excited and refreshing the page, and the server goes down, and,
it's a trailer which shows no gameplay.
Yeah, and you know, they create a fervor about their game without doing anything that Nintendo can't seem to replicate.
Well, here's how Rockstar does it, because when they do start hyping Grand Theft Auto, they hit the ground running. I guarantee you that like maybe 3 weeks before GTA 4 ships, you will see a preview on every single website out there. You're going to see massive amounts of media coming out. You're going to it's basically when they
the commercial
when they show
will run
it
every hour on the hour.
It will run every hour on the hour on every single TV program that you watch.
Everything
guaranteed.
In the 18 to 35 demo.
So absolutely. I think you know I think maybe plastered. They have the right idea in that you don't have to get people talking about your game a year before it comes out. You know, I don't think hype has done Too Human any favors. I don't really think.
Well.
Seriously, I don't, and I'm not sure that that's really going to affect very much. You know, I got a frog in my throat. When we interviewed Dennis, I asked him about hype, and I asked him if he thought that was important to the success of a game, and he said it's extremely important. And I'm not sure that I agree with that, because a game like GTA San Andreas, for instance, didn't really have a whole lot of hype building up to it. In other, there wasn't a lot of hype for a long duration before the game came out. But but like you said, once they flip the switch, it's ballistic. And Nintendo's approach is more like, well, we're going to wait until the last minute, and then we'll trickle out a couple things.
Yeah, they either need to trickle out things every week for like a couple months.
Like
or
with
they
Smash
need...
Brothers.
Yeah, Smash Brothers is actually a very good example, and it's doing a very good job of it staying in everyone's mind. I check that blog every morning before I go to work.
Same here.
But it's either that approach, or you either have to do the last minute explosion approach that Rockstar does, and they're not doing either. They're waiting until the last minute, and then they're trickling information out, like you said, Johnny. And that's the exact wrong combination.
Well, yeah. They kind of had a last minute explosion with Wii, the system.
Yeah.
And it worked pretty well for them, but that was done in conjunction with a lot of underground, grassroots-type marketing, which, oddly enough, the only time they've really done that kind of marketing was with Wii, with the casual people.
And
it
worked.
They're
they
having
really
Wii
well.
Parties with mom bloggers.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff they should be doing with their games, like Metroid Prime 3, except obviously instead of house mother bloggers, I don't know who the hell would read that, but instead of that, doing it with a different market, but the same type of tactics, and it would
work. Find that market. Find that blogger market for every single game.
Find that voice of people that really know about your game and really want
to
get it out
get
there.
Get to the
opinion
leaders.
I.e. us.
They're called, in marketing we call them opinion leaders, and those are the people you have to find. Like those mom bloggers, they are opinion leaders. Moms read those blogs and take those words to heart and that advice to heart, and they bank on it and they follow it, and that's what Nintendo really needs to do.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you go. I mean, obviously, Metroid Prime 3 will sell better than Echoes. I mean, it's just...
It's almost already has, like, a bigger user base, right? I mean...
well,
no, it's comparable.
Quite, it's comparable. Yeah. It's comparable. And, Metroid Prime 3 came out... Not Metroid Prime 3, but Metroid Prime 2 came out, it was basically, like, there was so many other games... that no one was really,
it got lost.
It got lost in the shuffle.
Didn't it come out almost the same day as Halo 2?
Yeah.
It came out right when San Andreas came out, right when Halo 2 came out, right when Metal Gear Solid 3 came out.
It was a huge year.
There were so many games coming out that it just
got lost. Yeah, and I think they really have a good opportunity to make it a bigger deal than it would have been otherwise, because you've got Metal Gear was delayed into 2008. You've got Mass Effect, which has been pushed back at least a month into December now.
And Halo's not coming out for another month.
That's right. You've got Halo coming out a month later, and Grand Theft Auto has been pushed back for 6 months or so. So, other than BioShock, which I think... I don't know. I haven't seen the commercials for it. I'm not really clear on just how much hype there is. I'm sure it's an awesome game, but I'm not
convinced
that it's going to be a massive... I'm not sure that it's going to be a massive hit.
I think it'll do extremely well for itself, but it will not, approach anywhere near Halo numbers or anything.
No. It's not the next Halo, for sure.
It's Microsoft's biggest summer game, even though it's third party, but it's the biggest summer game on the Xbox, hands down.
Yeah, I guess it's still, other than Madden.
Madden, I guess, but I don't see that as, like, an Xbox game. I see that as, that's the biggest game of the summer period.
and Madden is
separate.
Maybe not a direct competitor. It has kind of a different market than games like BioShock and Metroid. Yeah.
Though, to be fair, the BioShock guys, which is this something Nintendo could actually learn from, is because BioShock is a very, deep, complex game about, objectivism and all this stuff, but the marketing dudes are doing an incredible job of billing it as a kick-ass first-person shooter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is something Nintendo could learn from. Just look at the BioShock marketing. You don't get any of that objectivism, Ayn Rand, you know, philosophical stuff from the commercials or from anything. Unless you're really into the game and you're reading the niche media, you don't know about any of that stuff, and it's probably going to totally surprise you when you play that game. Nintendo could learn to use that same, you know, this is a kick-ass first-person shooter approach to sell Metroid to the casual market, while at the same time, you know, giving the deep, you know, deep niche market the information that we're getting on the Wii channel, like the new Valhalla trailer or the Aurora trailer, you know, that stuff that really feeds the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think actually Nintendo has done neither, and that's the problem, because they haven't told the casual market about this game at all. Not even billing it as something it's not, which is a first-person shooter. But at the same time, they haven't really done very much yet to quell the fears of the Metroid fan base that this won't be a first-person. Yeah, because a lot of people are worried that, oh my god, they've changed so much that it's not even a real Metroid game anymore. And I highly doubt that. We'll see soon enough. But really, they could have taken care of both of those markets at the same time with two different messages about the same game. And they haven't done either one. And so right now, you've got a casual market that doesn't even know the game exists. You've got a hardcore market that's very worried about how the game's going to turn out. And the game's done. There's no reason for anybody to be worried about it. If Nintendo wanted to prove to people that this is a real Metroid game, they could have done it weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're
allowing this negativity and pessimism to remain, because it's a really negative cloud. And it could have been resolved a long time ago, and they haven't.
They need to look to Take-Two and Irrational Games and see exactly what happened to BioShock. Should have been a mirror marketing pitch for Metroid Prime 3.
Well, I mean, speaking to how stupid and disjointed Nintendo can be, I mean, Retro, I think, really made a push for Metroid Prime 3 to make it more accessible. Just by looking at it, just, you know, you can look at it, and there are a lot of really cool, kick-ass action parts, and, like, you know, the story really seems to be taking, you know, pushing out front and center. So I think Retro might have had the right idea, but the marketing guys at Nintendo just don't really get it.
You know, maybe this has something to do with the fact that Nintendo recently axed their marketing firm and they're getting a new
one.
So it could be, you know, there could be some sort of transitional period where things are just not going so well.
Could be really bad timing.
Yeah.
Could be.
I don't know. I'm concerned about the market potential for this game. I mean, I'm assuming that it's going to be as good as the first two. I hope so. I'm assuming, because I haven't played it yet, then I won't have to assume anymore. But yeah, I'm a little concerned. I mean, it really could come down to just being a case of really terrible timing with this market transition and everything. I don't know.
Well, you know, I hate to end on an ominous note like that, but
okay, let me throw out a little bit of optimism.
Okay,
there's still a week before the game comes out, and as we've seen with things like Brain Age and even New Super Mario Brothers, Nintendo has no aversion to advertising for a game well after it's come out. So it could be that they find ways to make Metroid a perennial seller, so that eventually it builds up a really nice sales figure, really nice fan base, people excited for the next Metroid game whenever that comes out. But they are waiting. If they are doing that, they really are waiting to the very, very, very last minute. And I think, as we've shown with other games, there is something to be said for some pre-release hype. You don't want to only market the game after it's already out. Because as we know, after Metroid comes out, it's not very long before the next big, huge game comes out.
Yeah, Halo Wii is out in a month.
No, I mean, even on Wii, I mean, in 2 months, you know, we've got, not in 2 months, but in 3 months, we've got Mario.
That's a long time. It's like a quarter of a year, Carl.
Oh. But I'm just saying that, like, when I think that at like two or three weeks after Metroid comes out, the Nintendo community will, you know, turn that little clicker and say, okay, now we're waiting for Mario Galaxy.
I'm much more concerned about Halo, because to the average person, and let's face it, the average person's never played a Metroid game, It's not very clear what the difference is between these two, except that Halo has better graphics.
Oh, and here's another thing. I've gone to the movie theater 4 times in the past two weeks,
Halo
and
trailer.
Before every screening of every film I've seen, they have run that. Even it's a year old, I think, but they've run that Halo trailer of the two kids, you know, sitting out in the grass talking about, you know, I wonder what's up there, and all of a sudden they cut to Master Chief being a total badass.
Yeah.
Like, where is that, you know?
Yeah, very true. I mean,
Metroid doesn't get anything near that.
Oh, didn't Nintendo do the same thing with a game one time?
They did a couple GameCube ads like that in the theaters.
No, but I think it was for one game where they put a trailer in theaters. I think it was Ocarina of Time.
It might have been, yeah.
I think so they did for it. But
Majora's
you know,
Mask.
It could have been, possibly. But yeah, there you go. Like, that's a perfect way to do it. And a game that is a perfect example of a game that can live on beyond its, you know, just your initial release hype, Brain Age. Because Brain Age picked up a little bit when it first released, but then it got real, real big.
And that's, you know, it didn't even do that well in America comparatively. You know, look at Europe, it did much better.
It actually did pretty respectably in America, though.
Yeah, respectably, but it blew up huge in the other two areas.
Well, that's the difference is that Metroid's not a casual game.
Yeah, Brain Age is definitely going to have a lot more legs. It's pretty much designed to be a long-term seller. Also,
yeah. I mean, I think Metroid could be, like, just like Mike said, if you market it correctly and kind of fool people into playing it, I think a lot of people would like Metroid. They just, you know, you would almost have to trick them into playing it.
Exactly.
But if you're going to do that with a casual market, I don't know. It may work, it may not, but I don't really think Nintendo has any plans to market Metroid the way it has Brain Age.
Mm.
I really don't think so.
I would hope not.
No, I mean, but in other words, because it's not a casual game, because Nintendo is very unlikely to market it to the casual crowd, I think the long-term enduring sales potential of this game is very limited. So they really probably, because of the type of game it is, they should be focusing on the early period sales. And
yeah,
we don't have really any indication so far that they're doing that. I mean, you know, I hope I'm proven wrong in the next 3 to 4 days, but like I said, they really are waiting to the very last minute. And they have a pretty short window after this game comes out before the next big game comes out that, to the average core gamer, is better, which is Halo.
Right. Well, folks, remember, 1 week from today, we will know a lot more about Metroid. I guarantee you we'll be talking about it a lot. I'm sure Johnny will have much more to say next week about Metroid Prime 3.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so guys, remember, Mike's Crazy Mailbag. First email to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. That contains what password again?
Mother Brain.
If you have that and you're the first person to send in an email to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com, we are guaranteeing you that your email will be read. That's Mike's Crazy Mailbag, rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. Also, if you don't make it first, but it's still a good question, we might read it anyway. So, you know,
care how bad the first one is.
We don't care how bad it is. So just keep that in mind. Also, remember, you can go to iTunes. You can subscribe, review. You know, I always check every once in a while, see if there are any new reviews. I haven't seen any lately, so I'm just saying, you know, I'm feeling a little insecure. Help me out. And also, dig us. There is going to be a link at the website that you can click on. Dig us. Dig the podcast. Have a good time doing all that stuff. Digging. All right? Maybe a little dig over there. But, yeah, that about closes up the show. Dig them.
Just
thank
like
you
the frog.
Oh. All right. And that has been Jonathan Metz over in Boulder, Colorado.
Hi.
And Mike Sklens right to my left. So this is where you say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye, everybody.
He's on iTunes right now. And I'm
your host.
He's
playing Brain Age.
He's playing Brain Age. And I'm your host, Carl Castaneda. See you next week.
Download Super Metroid.
So with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And on the other side of this break, we're going to be talking about the news. So see you on the other side.
That was bad, Carl.
Can I say
other
that
side of the side of the side?
Other side of the set. All right, let me say that again. Okay, and with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. But on
Don't say other side of this break.
Okay, with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. So see you when we come back. Okay.
No sides.
That'll be our what's it called? Our thing at the end.
But I like sides.
You like
mashed
sides.
Potatoes and gravy.
That's dumb.
That's going to be a podcast. Just mashed potatoes and gravy.
This is stupid.